Thanks to you all for tuning in. I'm going to start out with a dedication to our good friend, Maggie Kitson, with lots of healing wishes. Maggie's going to be out with Maggie and the Cats this weekend, tomorrow at the Nehalem Bay Winery Blues Fest from 5 to 7:30. It's her first time out, although she may make a quick appearance tonight at Sweet Basil's. First time out since her surgery. And sending her lots of love and healing, and that goes for all of you out there who need, and don't we all? Yeah, let's get out there and celebrate. I was certainly dancing right here in the studio. I even have a witness. But again, that's going to be tomorrow, the Nehalem Bay Winery Blues Festival, 5 to 7:30, is the Maggie and the Cats, Maggie Kitson. And from 8 to 10 is Norman Sylvester. And the Cats are playing Friday at Sweet Basil's in it's tonight, and Cannon Beach, and then on Sunday at 5:30 at the Bistro in Cannon Beach. So, welcome back. And my first guest has, I don't think has anything to do with Giacomo Fino, but he certainly God, he's got an unusual name. What the heck? Hey, Seneschal Incavo is here with me. We call him Sen. Hi, Sen.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Very good.
And I'm glad to see you here.
Thank you.
Because last night I treated myself to a ticket to the McTavish Room to see the play Buyer and Seller, and that's spelled C-E-L-L-A-R. Very clever. Very clever, as in downstairs. We have a cellar here, Camion, mm-hmm. but it's nowhere near as exciting. So Sen. Sen is the director of this play, which was written by Jonathan Tollins. Okay. And it is starring, although it has many... it has a number of characters in it. It's only got one player.
There's one actor for this show.
So tell us about the show and tell us about Dawson, who did a... Dawson did an awesome job.
That
just came to me. I couldn't resist. It was wonderful. Tell us.
Well, the show was written... There are six characters in the show, Buyer and Seller, and it's basically a work of fiction based on reality. very, very funny show. And Dawson, who has done a tremendous job of portraying these six characters. The interesting thing is that normally we do Reader's Theater, so he would be standing at a music stand and just reading the script to you, having all of the characters, yet he doesn't have to memorize the lines. Well, about 4 weeks ago, he approached me and said, I want to memorize this. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yes. And so I said, okay, we'll give you the best full production we can upstairs in the McTavish Room. And everything has worked out wonderful.
It was amazing because this is a very wordy piece.
Oh, tremendously.
We were all sitting there, as I say, awesome, in awe of this young actor who had all the lines that go on and are fabulous. I was doubled over laughing at times, too.
The script is 90 pages.
Oh, Lord.
And he chose to memorize all of those, and then we gave him support with, there are very few props, but with music stuff and...
I like that.
And the change of lighting
to
denote different areas. And the play is part of something that we're doing with the Liberty Theater. It's the Liberty Theater celebrating gay pride. The festival and so forth and so on. And this play, it's played by a gay. The character is gay in the show, and there's also a movie coming up on June 3rd at 4:00. You may have seen advertisements for it that say that it's filming at 2:00, but it's at 4:00 because of conflict with Sunday Market.
Oh, of course.
Sunday Market at
the Liberty.
Sunday
Market.
Is rough. So we've moved it to 4 o'clock, and what it's called is Best in the Balcony. And what we're going to do is the audience will enter from the 12th Street door, take the stairs or the elevator up to the balcony, and they'll sit in the balcony to watch this film.
Neat. And
the name of the film is Lilies, and it's... I think it's a late 90s piece. It's actually a Canadian play that has a play within a play.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the movie version of it. And it's it's a murder mystery. Yet the original play form, it takes place in a men's prison. And a bishop is coming to hear a man's final confession. And... They were buddies in school, and there was a boy killed, and the man who's in prison was accused of that murder. So the bishop thinks he's coming to hear the truth about what really happened that day, and he does, yet in the Don Quixote type story, the prisoners now are acting out the truth that they've been told by the convicted man to let the bishop know that they know what really happened.
Whoa, I missed, I read that, but it didn't mention the murder. So
yes,
that's a part of it. That's going to be quite a terrific film.
It will
be. So that's happening on June 3rd. The buyer and seller play that I saw last night is happening Wednesday, Thursday, and you've added Friday, I noticed.
We've added Friday.
Oh, what motivated? So this is May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. What made you do that? Is that because it's Pride Month and you want to
Well, we've noticed
push it into June?
For the Reader's Theater, we're always busier the second week.
Yeah, true.
And so adding another day was just something I'm trying out.
Good.
To see what type of an audience we can get. I'm also, for the first time, normally I don't do shows on a Friday or Saturday because the city has so much else going on. But I'm just trying it this time with doing a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to see what it does.
Yeah, yeah.
And hopefully it does well and we'll continue with that venue.
It's nice to have that option, although I have to admit, having it on Wednesday and Thursday night is wonderful for those of us who take part in a lot of the arts and culture in this area.
Oh, yes.
Because that gives us an opportunity.
It gives you another time.
Exactly. Wednesday and Thursday aren't. Although Thursday night tends to get pretty busy, too, with all that's going on. Mm-hmm. So where did Dawson Shad, is it?
Dawson Yukon Shad.
Dawson Yukon Shad. Now, where did you find him, or how did that come about? Because although you told me some of the plays he's been in with the Astor Street Opera, and I went, oh, of course I've seen him before, but this is a whole nother ballgame.
I saw him in Shanghai last summer, and then he joined the center's choir.
Okay.
As a tenor, and he has a wonderful tenor voice. He also sang the tenor part in the Christmas show that we did.
Okay.
A Christmas Carol, sang the tenor part.
Oh, during Reader's Theater.
During
Correct.
Reader's Theater.
Okay, now I get you. Yep.
So I kind of met him that way. He is not born in Astoria, but from Astoria, graduated from Astoria High School. But I saw him in Shanghai and thought, this guy is very talented.
And he's been in a couple of other plays there, too.
He has.
He was, a bishop or a
He was playing the bishop in, I can't remember the name of the play now. Anyways.
See How They Run, I think is what it was.
See How They Run,
and it was
right.
Hilarious also.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see it with all the other stuff I was doing.
So are you willing to tell folks whose cellar we're talking about?
Yes, the cellar in the play is actually the basement of Barbra Streisand's Malibu home,
right?
In which she has built a small shopping mall to house all of her collections, like dolls and dresses and the various things that she's collected her career.
Is that true?
That is true.
That's true.
Because the book she wrote that came out for Christmas in the year 2010 is called My Passion for Design.
Okay.
And that is a real book about the real place.
Right. We saw the cover with the puppy and Barbara.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's a real book. The seller is real, which is phenomenal.
Yes.
And then who is this Jonathan Tolan who wrote this play? Where did that come from?
Well, there's a part in the play that Dawson creates that says that the real author, Jonathan Tolan, actually met Barbra Streisand at an event. And she offered to share her Kit Kat bar with him.
Oh, yeah. I remember
and
that.
He said no because he was afraid he would make a mess, and, you know,
he's regretted it ever since.
Right. Yet he kind of imagined this. It became an obsession for him because he heard about what was in her cellar, and he thought, what if you got a job there taking care of everything? Mm-hmm. And so that's where this play comes from, is that his imagination, and it's very well explained by mm-hmm. Dawson in the beginning.
Okay, so now what I heard as a radio person was a huge disclaimer at the beginning about because we didn't, maybe Jonathan and maybe Sin and maybe anybody else who puts on this play doesn't want to be sued by the Streisand estate.
That's true. And the thing is that there's nothing derogatory in it.
No, not at all.
Everything that is said is true, except for the part that's made up. And the thing is, legally, with a famous personality, you can make things up as long as there's not any defamation going on.
Okay.
And there's also a clause in the script that says that the author hopes that Barbara Streisand takes it in the humor that it was meant to happen.
Well, I have to say that for any of you out there listening who happen to come from New York, and especially if you happen to come from Brooklyn, you got to see this play. I think I was laughing a few extra times. It's like when I saw the Woody Allen, one of the Woody Allen films, when they sat around the table and argued with Diane Keaton. I was doubled over in laughter, and some people didn't quite get some of that. There are lines in here that are so Brooklyn, and they're specific sites. So now, Dawson has never been to Brooklyn, as far as I know. He's a young man.
No, he's 20.
And how did he relate to all? I mean, there are all kinds of allusions to plays and movies and places and people. Does he know these people?
He doesn't. that was very, very interesting, is that Dawson is 25 years old, and most of the stuff that's mentioned in the play, he had never heard of.
It was long before he was born.
Right. I mean, talking about Judy Garland and stuff like that, and he had no idea who these things were. It's like a part of me wanted to give him a rotary phone and say, call me, just to see if he knew how to dial. Yet, as a good actor, he was his own dramaturg for the play, and he saw all of the movies that were mentioned in the play, and he looked up all of the people on Wikipedia so that he was totally familiar with who they are and what they did in reference to the play. Because it mentions a lot of actors.
Yes, yes. And not just I, but everyone in the audience who was there was blown away by how he carried this off in full. It's so beautifully, and in such character himself.
Yes.
He just did a great job. This is Buyer and Seller, C-E-L-L-A-R, if you want to look that up, by Jonathan Tallon. And it is playing this coming week, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday evenings, 7 o'clock in the McTavish Room, 12th Street entrance. That's 12th and Commercial, part of the Liberty upstairs in the Liberty Theater, the 30th, 31st, and the 1st of June. And it is with Dawson, Yukon, Shad, and my guest, the director, Sen Nkavo. And this is part of this kind of kicking off Pride Month. And the Liberty is also showing, I wrote all this down, Lilies, a film by Michel-Marc Bouchard, at 4 p.m. on June 3rd. And I'm crossing out 2 p.m. It's at 4 p.m. Note that down. And you're calling it best in the balcony because people are going to be sitting only in the balcony.
Right. They'll come up the same way they do to see a play in the McTavish Room.
Right. This is based on a play, Les Fleurettes?
Les Fleurettes, the flowers.
Oh, okay. I don't know where I got that spelling. Okay, Florette. Yes. And Quebec Prison, 1952. And it was the winner of the Genie Awards and San Francisco International Lesbian and Gay Film Festival and lots of other awards. So that's going to be worth seeing. And don't forget, Pride Weekend here in Astoria is June 8th through 10th. And Marco's coming in next week to talk about that. So thank you so much, Sen. Thanks for keeping the Reader's Theater, whether it's read or spoken. Thanks for keeping it, for making it alive every month now.
You're welcome.
Or every few months. It's been great.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. And I have some music here from James Lowe. He's going to be playing tomorrow evening at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach. Mexiquita. And you are listening to Coast Community Radio. And this is Arts Live and Local. Thanks for being here, folks.
Walking into town on Sunday morning, I saw your daddy sleeping naked in the yard. And Saturday I'd seen him in a Mexiquita bar, liquor in his eyes, your dust around his heart. Climb through the window so my mama wouldn't see that I was all dressed up and you were waiting there for me. 'Cause even from her bed she usually knows just where I've been. So I came down to see you before you take another man. Mexiquita, don't you know you own me? Just like you owned my daddy come before. Your dust will fill my mouth if I go north or I go south. If I'm killing time at the bar. I was born in sickness, fever in my brain. My mama's told I'd never live to see that driving rain. See that rain I did, Lord, it comes down mighty hard. And I've grown to see you wrap yourself around my heart. Don't you know you own me? Just like my daddy come before.
Mexiquita, it's the title cut of his 2000 release. James Lowe, reputed to be one of the best songwriters. He is going to be tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. And if you can go, you better get hold of them and let them know you're coming, because they do sell out. It's a small venue, and they do sell out. But it is, it's going to be great. Always is. My next guests are also from the peninsula. Not too far away, because, to be honest, let's be honest, nothing's that far away on the peninsula.
No, you know it isn't.
So this is, I have Penny Treat, whose voice you just heard and whom many of you already know, because Penny comes and visits us on a regular basis.
And I'm grateful for the invite.
Well, it's terrific. And a newbie, Larry Hamilton. Hi, Larry.
Hello, how are you?
Have you been on radio before?
No.
No radio?
No radio.
Oh, my God. We have a radio virgin. How exciting. Larry Hamilton. And let me tell you, he's not a kid either.
No, he's not.
It's kind of fun to have virgin experiences at our age, isn't it? So they are here because the Ilwaco Art Walk is starting on June 1st, which is...
That's Friday. First Fridays.
A week from tonight.
Yes, yes.
And it is from 4 till 7, and it will happen June, July, August, September?
No September. We have the slow drag there and the, you know, the rod run. It's so packed.
Yeah. Does that take place in town or on
The slow drag?
Everywhere.
Takes place right in Ilwaco, right on Hamilton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hamilton.
Well, not Hamilton, right on...
Is that the street named after you, Larry?
No, I wish.
It's Howerton. Hamilton, Howerton. I know it started with an H.
Right. Okay, so it's going to be June, July, August, and October, supported by the Port of Ilwaco and the Ilwaco Merchants Association event. Now, I'm a little confused because you have a lot of places, and it used to be just the Port of Ilwaco, but this is way beyond that. I have a map in front of me.
I know, and it's because of people like Larry and others downtown, the library, Azure Salon, Roots, Trev's Place, a number of people that have... actually expressed interest in being on it. And so now it's a collection of businesses.
That's terrific.
Yeah, so we have 6 galleries and 14 businesses. And I think what is wonderful is that every business is planning something special. The entire community is a bonanza of creativity.
That's fantastic. Larry, how do you fit into this? Are you an artist as well?
No, I'm the owner of the Antique Gallery, which is a 5,000-square-foot antique store downtown.
That's big.
And it is quite large, and we do have a gallery of art. But that evening, we're going to be featuring 100 years of art glass. And we'll be displaying the art glass with information about it, where it came from.
Nice.
Where it's going. So it's a little bit different than what the others are doing, but that's what's great about having so many involved.
Well, I like the fact that each venue is going to feature
something.
Now, when you say, is that 208 First Avenue South? Is that yours? The antique? I'm looking. Mm-hmm. Number 15. Okay,
yes.
I found it. This map is easy to negotiate. I like it right on First Avenue. It's 5,000 square feet. That's huge. Are you going to actually rearrange some things or just mark them? How does that work?
What I'm doing is I'm setting up my center of display cases, and on top of the display cases are all of the different glass with descriptions of what the glass is. I'll be there and answering questions. My partner will be there as well. And we'll be hosting it with some beverage and some bites of food and
What made you decide to get involved with all these artist types, Of course, if you have an antique gallery, you're one of those artists.
Well, that's true. I've always, as such a little kid, I've always been involved in art and enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And very creative world, and it's exciting. My career path took me a whole different direction, but I've been dealing with antiques for 20 years, and I love the fact that it's all about the American history. And that's what I get out of the glass. Glass is all about American history.
When you say glass, what are we talking about?
We're talking about bleak. We're talking about depression glass, elegant glass.
Are they like dishes?
There's plate settings. There's bowls. There's vases. There's cream and sugars. There's just some beautiful animals in glass.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And this is, and you're not worried about it getting knocked off and broken?
Well, we just have to be careful.
Okay.
I have a lot of do not touch signs. But and everything's for sale. And folks want to feel and touch it because I love to touch glass. It's fun.
Yeah. And are you still doing another job?
Yes. I'm a director of business development for a corporation in Texas, and we build and manage first-class lounges. So it did take me on the road for quite a bit, 26 days a year I traveled. But I'm semi-retired now, and this is my first full year in Oahu after living there 12 years. Thank you.
Good.
And that's all why I'm enjoying getting involved, because now I have the time. I'm always a big deal of being involved with the community.
Great.
And there's a lot of wonderful things happening, Carol, downtown. The DuPay building has been officially sold. Mm. And there is another building next to it that has been sold.
Amazing.
Just amazing. We have Trev's Place. It's a new cafe. He's one of our sponsors, along with North Jetty Brewing, the Freedom Market, Treat and Treat, Roots Cafe. You know, we're just grateful that people downtown are coming together with the port, this cohesion. And
so give me an example of, I've got what Larry's Antique Gallery is going to do. What, give me one of the other businesses,
doing? Absolutely. Well, David Kempeach, weather permitting, promises to have a big bonfire on his beach property at China Beach Resort. Right.
But he's an artist.
He is a
Looking at, for example, Jesse's Il Waco Fish Company.
Okay.
What are they going to do for the artwork?
Okay. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because
Time Enough Books is already an art venue.
Right. They're showing traditionally woven. Now, I don't know what this is. K-A-R-M-A-M-A-T-S.
Karmatas?
Uh-huh. By Greg Nettis.
Okay.
Made out of fishing line.
Oh, wow.
They're used to serve a decorative as well as a safety purpose on wooden boats and make a great wall art.
Love it. Love it.
See, isn't that fun?
Creative. Yes.
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 And how about Azure Salon and Spa?
Okay.
She's having a unique barber, the classic old barbers that used to do men's hair. She's demonstrating some of these unique designs.
Oh, how fun.
How fun is that?
Oh, I wonder what she's using for models.
I don't know. And then David Jensen is an architect. He's moved his office downtown Iwako on the port.
Nice.
And he's doing some interesting things, too, along with his own unique, beautiful drawings, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And he's featuring Jacob Moore, who has Jacob's Hammer. He does sculpture. You know Jacob.
Lovely stuff. Yeah.
So it's,
this is very exciting to put the two together. And, you know, when you look at the map, if you thought this was Portland or Seattle or New York City, you'd say, oh, well, there's a group here and there's a group way over there. But then when you know Il Waco, you say, oh, so it's like two blocks away.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've been working very hard to get this trail going.
Mm.
And it's going to be a trail that's a self-walking foot trail that has a motif of a anchor. So you'll just follow the anchors.
Nice.
And find the big, we're going to have flutter flags.
Nice.
And follow the flags and the anchors to bring.
So
to
now where are you going to have your art, Penny
Oh,
Treat?
I'm at Artport. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's right there on Howerton.
Absolutely.
As are all of the galleries.
Most of the galleries are there. Absolutely. Artport, Marie Powell, Don Nesbitt's, Schroeder Woodworking, Saltwater Ventures, which is new, and Pearly Shells Fiber Arts. They'll all be doing something unique.
Skywater Ventures. Nice. And the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum will be open for it, too?
Yes, they're featuring Bruce Peterson's photography.
Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite museums. To mention the people.
I know. And we're so delightful that all these businesses have agreed to be on it.
I see Rivers and Yoga, who has an office here and there.
Absolutely. They're always very
civic. And the Iwako Timberland Library.
I know, and she's got student art, and I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, that's a...
It just seems like 4 to 7 isn't enough time.
I know.
We look at it and think the same. But what's amazing about it is the fact that just last year, I mean, we were struggling to try to get a few of us together to participate.
Oh, wow. So what did you do to get people involved?
Well, it's just growing. I mean, first of all, Penny is the motivator here. I mean, she has done an extraordinary job. I promised last year to me and said, I'm going to make this work.
And she did.
And she did.
Okay.
And told her, she's got my bet, Penny.
Okay.
I'll stay with her all the way.
Well, it's pretty exciting because I remember when Penny was just starting to show her art. I don't know whether she started making art. Have you been making art all your life or just?
Well, I did interior design for a long time and always wanted to do fine art. And then by the grace, River Sea said, hey, Penny, you want to show your work there?
What year was that, Penny?
Oh, that's about 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Only.
You know,
okay.
Time goes fast. I'm 73 and it's just going
Me
by
too.
Faster, honey.
I know all about it. But I remember that you were just doing, you were in the show up at the college.
Yes.
You did the printmaking, and then you were in the Au Naturel.
Yes.
And then
it
just kept going and growing, and it's very exciting. And now you are totally giving back by getting this going.
Absolutely.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And for Awako, this is so important. I mean, we've had the battle of 7-8 empty buildings since 2007 when the economy hit and it emptied right out. To the point where today there's one building available.
Wow.
Everything's been sold. Everything has been occupied.
Now,
and
let's
we're excited.
But do you think those people who bought the buildings, we won't go into details, are they going to do good things?
Well, we hope so because we understand Candy, who owns the Sou'wester, has purchased the building directly. Let's see,
you mean the new, the Adrift people?
No, the Sou'wester.
You mean Tandy.
Tundi.
I'm
Tundi
sorry.
Rosenbaum.
Through the grapevine.
Okay.
We just heard that she had purchased the building.
Oh, well, she's 100% artist.
I know, and we're so excited to have her down there as well. We haven't, we just heard this, did purchase that building right next to the Duque building.
That's great, because the whole arts community from Portland comes to the Sou'wester.
Yes.
Now they'll be here in Ilwaco as well.
My dream is to create Ilwaco as an art district. You know, Governor Inslee made a new law for that.
He said, Ilwaco's going to be a new art district?
You can apply for an art district. I just someday see it as one.
Well, okay, all you folks out there listening, get that on your calendars. Penny Treat said Ilwaco's going to be an art destination and it's going to happen, right, Larry?
That's right.
Okay.
My money's on her.
Thank you both so much for coming in.
You.
Again, folks, this is Ilwaco Art Walk First Fridays, and it begins on the first Friday of June. And that will be June 1st, July 6th, August 3rd, and then we skip the month of September, go right to October 5th. So check it out. If you don't know where Ilwaco is, find it. It's on the peninsula, Ilwaco, Washington. That's right. We got to be sure. I don't think there's an Ilwaco in Oregon. So right across the road, right across the river from Astoria, if you're coming from this side. Thank you so much for coming in. And Larry, congratulations.
Thank you.
Did you do a great job?
We'll see you again.
I hope so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.
Thanks,
always.
Penny Treat
very
and
gracious.
Larry Hamilton. Great. Okay, folks, we got one more set of guests. And first, I have a piece of music from The Shrouded Stranger. They're going to be at the Labor Temple on June 9th. And I am not familiar with them, but I listened to some of the music, and we'll give it a run. And also, I wanted to say a happy birthday to Bob Dylan. I thought he was a lot older, to be honest, because he's only 6 years older than I am. Heh, just a kid. And we want to say a fond and full farewell to Philip Roth, who certainly put a lot of us on the map. Here's The Shrouded Stranger, and they're playing at the Labor Temple June 9th, and you are hearing them on Coast Community Radio. Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds interesting. The Shrouded Stranger at the Labor Temple on June 9th. And we heard Coat Check with a View of the Coast. This is like a Vietnamese restaurant. The names of their songs. One of them is called How the Dead Butter Their Bread. But I didn't play that one. You'll have to go and hear them to catch that particular tune. So thanks, Heidi, for bringing by the CD. And my last guests for today are here to talk about the 15th annual Soup Bowl Project called In Our Element. This is a benefit for the harbor. It started out as the Soup Bowl. By the time it was the Soup Bowl, it was the Women's Resource Center, I think. And it was the Women's Crisis Center before that or after that. I can never keep track because it's been around for over 40 years. So I have here Arielle Young, who is the Community Outreach Coordinator. Hi, Arielle.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me.
And Arielle was here on Toots, that would be Talk of Our Towns, with Donna Quinn, if you want to look that up, where she got quite involved in telling us about the new venue for the harbor, the Confidential Emergency Shelter, which they're very excited about. Well, how do you pay for all these things? And one of the ways they pay for it is by benefits, which our fabulous community participate in. And to talk about what is the Soup Bowl Project, they both will talk about that, but one of those Soup Bowl muddies, I love that word, is, do you consider yourself a muddy?
Oh,
Randy,
yeah.
Randy McClellan is here. He's one of the early muddies. I never heard that word until Richard Rowland gave it to me. I kind of like it.
It's a good word.
It's a good. Do you folks actually use that word, or is that just Richard?
No, we call each other muddies
you
all
do.
The time.
Yeah. I never know with Randy whether he's serious or not, though. So, but he has been making these bowls for how many years have you been involved?
Oh, we think it's like 17 or something like that, but but apparently for 15 years.
Right. But you weren't. The very first one, I think, was just Richard and Ben Thompson.
Correct.
Who is back in town, and we love having him back. But then Richard started bringing in more and more of the pottery folks, and you came in early on, didn't you?
Yeah, from the second event. There definitely was a need. You know, after the success of the first event, I believe that Richard saw a bigger vision in the community to bring in more people, and it's worked. You know, we've been doing this every year since, so really happy to be part of this project always.
Now, did you, when you were doing ceramics, did you enjoy making bowls? Was that something you like, or did you start making the bowls because of the project? Do you remember?
Yeah, I think it
I love making bowls, first of all. I really can't remember. I've made bowls before.
Uh-huh.
You know, the first time we started making them for the project, I did have the skills to do it at the mm-hmm. time. But, you know, making the bowls all these years, they just continue to get better. The quality of the bowls get better. The vision of what they're used for, you know, not just to hold soup or food or anything, but the vision of creating these bowls gets bigger every year. You know, it creates hope,
mm-hmm.
creates hope for the community, and it brings people together. That's what I feel like the bowls have become today, mm-hmm. more than they were, you know, just something they eat food out of, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which is important, but,
of
you
course.
Know.
Well, Ariel's mm-hmm. sitting here and shaking her head, yes. And Ariel, you're new here.
I am,
in
yeah.
town as well as...
Yep, new to the harbor and new to town, absolutely.
So have you participated in a bowls project elsewhere?
No, but I had the honor of going out to the kiln as they pulled the bowls out this last time. I guess it was the first firing, is that right?
Of the new kiln,
of the
yes.
new kiln, a second
oh,
generation
the new kiln.
Kiln.
Up and running. Yeah. Ooh, I haven't seen it yet. So, Ariel, were you familiar with an Anagama kiln?
No, I knew nothing. I was completely ignorant, and they were so gracious with me, taught me so much, so many pottery terms. Mm-hmm. I only remember a few, vitrification, the flashing, yeah. crazing.
Good for you. You're ahead of most of
yes,
us. So what, pretty impressive, though.
Oh, it was. And what I found the most touching and impressive, I think, about the whole project is just the metaphor of the bowls, you know, as individuals that I learned that in the kiln, and you'll have to correct me, Randy, they actually can pull color from each other as they're firing. If one has a specific kind of glaze on it and it's sitting next to another bowl at different points in the firing, that can affect the color of another bowl. So I thought that was a really cool way to look at, you know, the interconnectedness of all people, that we all impact each other. No one's truly an individual, you know, in this world. So
wow,
I really
like
that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. I've been to the kiln, and I've certainly been around the bowls and using them for all these years. I think many of us in this community, I don't know about you, Randy, but developed an appreciation for wood-fired pottery.
Mm.
Because a lot of times, and at the Bowls Project, I think there are both. There are bowls from the Anagama as well as from the other, or are they all from Anagama this year? Do you know?
There's always a mixture of bowls from the right. from the wood fire, and then bowls from we call it just a stonework kiln.
Right.
So it's okay. Bowls that are fired in a gas kiln.
Right.
They both have their equal charm, mm-hmm. I would say, and in place in the project. We have to create bowls from a very more predictable environment, so that we can, you know, maybe even take a few more risks in the wood fire. I would say that, you know, even though this was a new kiln, you know, mm-hmm. that the crew and the community spent years building,
mm-hmm.
We did consider this a test firing, mm-hmm. believe it or not, and mm-hmm. we put very, very important pieces in this kiln,
wow.
You know, to be considered a test firing. But
how'd it go?
They're beautiful. They're stunning. They're beautiful. People are going to really love these bowls. And
wow.
Very symbolic, too, I think, to get one of these bowls from the new kiln.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of connectedness, I think, to the old kiln
mm-hmm.
in this project. And, you know, to kind of Ariel's point about bowls kind of flashing each other and things like that, they were all in there, and they were all hit by the same fire.
Mm-hmm.
So all of them had, that's the beauty of wood fire, I think. You throw in that one piece of wood, and it hits every piece in there.
But in a different way.
In a different way.
Yeah, yeah. Depending on where it's situated mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. what falls on it. And I've got bowls that have splotches attached to them. But I was educated by Richard Rowland, who taught me. I remember very vividly I needed a big bowl. So there were two of them I had picked out, and I had them sitting here. And I said, "Richard, which do you think?" And you know how he is. Well, however, what I learned was that black streak that came across the bottom, that some might say, ooh, that's kind of weird. You know, it's that's the wood fire. That's the ash. And that gives it a signature right there. Well, guess which one I chose, of course, you know. But the bowls break over time, for some of us, unfortunately. And so there's always room for more. The event is happening on June 2nd, which is Saturday night, a week from tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And it is at the loft of the big red of the Red Building on right by the Cannery Pier Hotel. Mm-hmm. And the Southern fried chicken place. This, I don't know what else to say.
What a plug, Carol.
Yeah, I know.
Plug KFC
to.
For everybody.
Says the vegetarian. I want to make that perfectly clear, but that's where you turn. Mm-hmm. However, you really need to get your tickets in advance. Mm-hmm. So how do they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just go right to our website at harbornw.org. You'll see right on the first homepage, there's the upcoming events section. So if you click on the Soup Bowl link there, it'll take you right to Brown Paper Tickets where you can purchase them. We really encourage people to purchase online. I know there's a lot of people planning to buy at the door, but we only have 200 bowls and 200 spots. So.
That's right. And it has sold out. Mm. I have to say I bought my ticket several weeks ago, actually.
Good. Perfect.
And is it possible to go to the office and buy it,
yes,
too?
Yes, you can absolutely buy them in person at Deja Vu Thrift Store or at our office at 801 Commercial. And our new location is in the old Snow and Snow Law offices. So we're on the corner of 8th and Commercial now. We're no longer attached to Deja Vu.
Right, and that's an important difference, too. I went over there and I was blown away because you walk in and there are all these offices. Mm-hmm. There's lots of space. There's lots of privacy.
Yes, that's the biggest difference.
You know, I bet there are people out there who don't know what the harbor is. So
yeah.
Could you give us a...
Absolutely. And we're the local community-based nonprofit that supports survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. So we do that through by promoting self-determination. So for us, we have the resources and we can walk people through all the steps to make a change. But ultimately, it's up to the person to figure out, you know, what's best for them, what the right move is. And that's why we're completely confidential. Nothing that you share, you know, with us and our building can be subpoenaed, you know, or used, given to child welfare, anything like that.
Wow.
So you're very safe to come and talk with us.
How does one get hold of you?
Well, our
number?
Yeah, absolutely. The best line is our crisis line number, and that's 503-325-5735. And what a lot of people don't know about the crisis line is it's also for community members. You don't have to be in crisis or a survivor yourself to use that number. Even if you're a family member or a friend, you can call and get information on how you can support that person, best ways to approach them. Not all help is helpful, so it's sometimes nice to know what are some of the best ways that to help that person know that you're there for them and really support them in making the best decision for themselves.
So the people who work at the harbor are trained in speaking with the clients or the family members or whatever.
Yep, exactly.
So that phone number is 503-325-5735. And I have to tell you, that's the same phone number from the beginning,
because
I was part of that. I used to use that number. And again, this is the 15th annual Soup Bowl Project in our element to support the work that the Harbor does. And it is happening June 2nd at the loft at the Red Building, 5:30 to 8:30. There will be people there to greet and feed you. Are the soups coming from restaurants or people or both or what?
Yep, all restaurants. We have 12 local restaurants that donated, as well as CMH Nutrition Department actually donated one of the soups too. So that's a pretty cool addition this year.
We'll have to check it out and see if it may be nutritional, but is it tasty?
It's going to be good.
I bet.
Are you cooking it, Randy?
I'm not cooking it, but I know who is. It's going to be good.
Okay, guaranteed.
And we have lots of vegan options this year. I know that hasn't been popular.
I know.
Five vegan options.
Okay.
So it's a vegan planned it.
Fantastic. So check out, and again, Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, it's the American spelling, N-W, www.thefoundersfund.org. And do you have something there written about your new shelter as well on the website?
Yeah, absolutely. So
lots there's, of information there.
Yes, and on our Facebook as well, you can see we're doing a drive for our new shelter to collect right. hygiene supplies. And
okay.
The shelter opens in June, so we're very excited.
Guess what? That's next week.
I know. Woo!
Okay, thank you so much for coming in. Arielle Young, the community outreach coordinator, and Randy of the Harbor, and Randy McClellan, who is one of the Muddies from way back, and still, he also happens to have a day job at CMH. See, I can out you. It's okay. But he's not the chef. There we go. Thank you so much for coming in, both of you. And thanks for doing the work for our community, in
thanks.
Our community.
Thank Wonderful. You, Carol.
Okay.
Thanks, Carol.
You bet. So, I've got lots of things going on. We'll put a little bit of...
How many roads
yep,
must a man
that's what we're putting on. How many roads? A little bit of Bob Dylan, even though he's only 79. Next year's a big one for him. This is the last weekend for the Coasters Odd Couple, Friday through Sunday, all 7:30. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 7:30 p.m. in Cannon Beach. The Liberty is featuring Solstice Wind Quintet tonight. They are the resident faculty at Washington State University. Beautiful group. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at the Liberty Theater. Tomorrow evening is Randy Linder with the Creedence Clearwater Revival at 7:30. That group is going to be tonight at the Columbian Theater in Longview. NCRD in Nehalem is featuring the tonight, the two musical duos from Nashville and Portland. The Astoria Music Festival is having a prelude, 6 to 8 p.m. tonight at Kala, 1017 Marine Drive, with Dee Guidi, Keith Clark, and Dinah Urell. Music Talk and Light Fair. Palette Puddlers all weekend at the Cannon Beach Chamber. And Astoria High School, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It's there last weekend. I saw some of it last night. It's Friday and Saturday only at 7 o'clock. They have a great car that comes on stage. Yeah, that's Chitty. Sweet Basil, the Cats are playing tonight, and then the Larks tomorrow night. Cats and Birds. And the Long Beach Peninsula Garage Sale is going on all weekend. Napton Cove, tomorrow is Troll Radio Review. Don't miss it. 20th anniversary. Bravo. Brava. Thanks, Debbie, and all that take part. The Napton Cove Quarantine is having open house 2 to 4 Saturday. And the Nehalem Bay Winery Blues Festival, 5 to 7:30 with Maggie and the Cats, and Norman Sylvester, 8 to 10. Astoria Library is featuring Alton Takayama Chung at 6 o'clock with Grandmother Death and Other Tales. Peninsula Performing Arts Center, James Lowe. NCRD has the B-side benefit for the Riverbend Players. Labor Temple Kerfuffle. This is tomorrow night. They're terrific. And, oh my God, there's so much going on. And Sunday, the Fort George is featuring all our exes live in Texas. I can relate to that. And there's a regatta benefit at Loft on Sunday evening. Tuesday, next Tuesday, our very own Richard Rowland, of whom we were just speaking, is going to be talking at the Astoria Library, Earth, Wind, and Firing. And folks, you're going to have to call me to get the rest.